two with my students, Guillaume Laporte and Robert Jefferson, and there's a paper with Albert Schwartz and Vadim Vologodsky. None of these papers sort of play. I mean, this is not to talk about one particular paper in particular, but more trying to give you an overview and then one example in detail of what this work is about. Okay, so so I think I wanted to start with the speculations. Instead of ending with speculations, I start with them. So trying to tell you what is the message or what could be the message. I'm not sure I know ultimately what the message is, but let me just try to say it. Anyway, so this is speculation. So it says that relative or defect or 2D, 4D BPS invariants generically are encoded in not in integer numbers, but in irrational numbers, which are algebraic. So yesterday I had this idea of adding encoded in here. So encoded in algebraic numbers, algebraic integers, and D. And so this is a statement which comes out of these calculations related to open string mirror symmetry. So one is trying to count something in the context of mirror symmetry, and so one of these generalizations of things you want to count are these 2D, 4D BPS invariants. They already appeared in you'll see there's some connections with Davide's talk as far as what one is trying to count. Okay, and so the calculation suggests that they are not. There might still be a way of talking about integers, but the way they're actually encoded is in some algebraic integers in D. And so what this means, I don't really know, but if you allow me to speculate, so from the point of view of physics, and I think this is pretty, well, far-fetched speculations, but you have this Hilbert space of BPS states. Okay, and one thing this could mean, well, and I'll tell you, actually, I have some, this is a pretty simple picture of how this could work, okay, that this Hilbert space of BPS states carries an action of the Galois group. So, I mean, in any fixed situation, there is a finite extension of the rationals that plays a role, okay, and so there is this Galois group that acts on the Hilbert space of BPS states. And I think this is quite interesting because, of course, group theory was invented for number theory, and groups play a very important role in physics. But the Galois group acting in the Hilbert space, that's not something you see every day. So I think that's quite interesting if you can make this precise. And I think from the math point of view, you're going from these algebraic integers, and somehow you're attaching some kind of vector space, which is the Hilbert space of BPS states. And this, as also we've heard in this workshop before, is you should think of this as some kind of categorification. Okay, so if you can really make this work, then you're getting some kind of categorification of these of algebraic integers. Okay, so I think both of these kind of interesting statements. The plan of the calculations was not to gather these statements. They sort of, it's a message I think maybe one can extract someday. But so what I'll tell you. Sorry?
On space, in our case, it's cohomological algebra, which gives you all the BPS, whether they find or not.
the relative BPS invariants.
Too deep for D is not expected, just special case. In general, action of material Galois group. Well, whether it matches with what's in physics, it's a different question.
Well, okay, physics, I don't know. What it the question is whether it will match these calculations. Okay, so maybe you can. Well, that was very good. Okay. Okay, we can discuss to what extent this matches. Okay, but right, so this is sort of the speculations already in this first paper, and then there are, you know, the more recent calculations sort of go into some slightly different directions. So they focus on this monodromy business, and so that I think has to do with more standard math, I think, and maybe also more standard physics. So that's sort of what the plan is for today. Okay, but since this is a physics conference, I want to start with a physics setup. Okay, so what we want to, you know, from the physics point of view, you start with type 2A string theory on a Calabi-Yau X, so compact Calabi-Yau threefold. When you do this, you get the effective theory in four dimensions as n equal to supergravity coupled with H21 plus 1 hypermultiplets. And H11 vector multiplets. And there is this moduli space of the scalars in the vector multiplets. So a special Keller manifold. And there is, so locally around large volume, you can encode this. Well, I mean, the prepotential always exists, but the expansion of the prepotential around large volume, so takes the following form. F, so there is some cubic term, and then there is some linear term, which is multiplied with the zeta of 2 over 2 pi I squared, and then there is a term with zeta of 3, 2 pi I cubed, which is multiplied with the Euler number of the Calabi-Yau. Okay, and then there are there's a series in Q, which are the instanton corrections. Okay, so I mean, you can, it sort of looks like a one parameter thing, but of course this is more general. Okay, so. So kappa C2 and chi, they're classical topological invariants of X. Okay, so triple intersection and the second term class in the Euler number. And until the D, These are the genus 0 Gromov-Whitney invariants. So this is, since somehow the integrality is important, maybe I say this is integral and this is rational Gromov-Whitney invariants. Log Q is omega is the complexified Keller form. And well, zeta of 2 is zeta of 2 and zeta of 3. From the point of view of physics, the zeta of 3, this term arises from a perturbative correction to the sigma model metric on x. So this is a perturbative correction. And these n tilde d are Wolfschmidt instantons, okay? And there is an integrality underlying it. So these n tilde d, they're rational, but there's an integrality underlying. So if you rewrite this as there is this Aspinwall-Morrison multicover formula that you can rewrite this as in terms of integers q to the d times k over k cubed, k from 1 to infinity, okay, and then these nds are in are integers, and maybe they're also non-negative. And so you can rewrite this, I think, Jan alluded to this also. I mean, a simpler way to understand this is that there's these congruences between these n tilde d. Okay, so n d are integer. This is equivalent to the statement that for all d and all primes, there's a congruence between these n tilde d. So n tilde p d minus 1 over p cubed n tilde d. That's actually, so these n tilde d, the rational numbers, the denominator is like d cubed, okay, and then if you subtract, if you take this combination, so in principle there's 1 over p cubed downstairs here, and there is times the order of, the powers of p and the denominator of these two numbers could be the same, okay, and the statement is that they just cancel out, so that this is actually integer at p, okay. So this is Möbius inversion. And somehow the what I'm going to describe is some kind of open string version of that integrality, where this speculation comes from. Okay, and so of course all this was known to Candelas in 89. So et al. Except that. What these NDs are counting, so from the physics point of view, these NDs are counting BPS invariants, so these are Gopa-Kuma-Wafa invariants, so these NDs, they count BPS states, okay, which really come from wrapping, from wrapping D2 brains on holomorphic curves in your Calabi-Yau. So So that was after Candelas, and the other was the proof of the integrality. So this was observed and was conjectured for a long time. So was proven by Kantsevich, Schwartz, and Vologodsky that these nd are actually integer. Proof using the B model, okay? So I haven't talked about the B model at all, but it will come back, okay? So, right, so I mean, I'm of course simplifying, so that's not all that was known. I mean, there is lots of things, so we heard lots of things in this workshop, other generalizations of this story in many, many directions. But there is one direction which I find interesting, okay, and which I want to tell you about. So, and this is that physics tells us. So this is, you know, this is all fine when you compactify type 2a, you get this n equal to supergravity, but somehow this is too much supersymmetry, and these, you don't have any non-abelian gauge symmetry, and you know, you have no potential, you have massless scalars, you have these moduli, so all of this is not good from physics perspective. So what physics tells you is that you should do something else. You should you should add brains. Okay, so you should add brains. So that's what I want to tell you about. Okay, so and okay, so the brains one should add. So we are in type 2a. Okay, so we have even dimensional brains. So the ones I want to add are d4. Yeah, I mean, okay. So d4 brains on some Lagrangian, and maybe if you want to be complete, you add this flat connection. So L is Lagrangian. So maybe I can say something like that, that you have to have this object in the Foucaille category of X, and you want to have your, so the simplest models of these are Lagrangian brains with some flat line bundle. No, not D6. Yeah, no, not D6. No, no, I motivate. Yes, I motivate with n equals 1. Okay. I mean, okay, in fact, I'm only going to talk at tree level, so then it doesn't make much sense, much difference whether you talk about D6 or D4. Okay. But since I'm anticipating that I want to do loops at some point, then I have to think about that from physics perspective. Okay, and good. Okay. So, but if you do that, right, then you get a defect in d equals 4, right? So, I mean, what's the picture? So you have x, and then you have your L, and so you have a four-dimensional space here, and you have some, the d4 is wrapping here, and is wrapping here some two-dimensional subspace of R4, and that is, so you get a defect. Nowadays, this is called a defect, 2D defect, in two-dimensional subspace inside of your four-dimensional space, and there are four supercharges. So that means so n equals 2 and d equals 4 is broken to n equals 2 and d equals 2, so four supercharges, and so there, what is the theory? We should have chiral multiplets. Okay, so we have four supercharges. And so if you do this naively, they're going to be B1 of L chiral multiplets. And there's going to be a superpotential. So supersymmetry only says that it should be, well, Kähler, but just some complex manifold, okay, and I want to talk about the metric. So we have a superpotential from this space of chiral multiplets to C, and so this is what Davide was calling a Landau-Ginzburg model, well, other people as well. But what, well, okay, this was also apparent in other talks, that what's interesting about these Landau-Ginzburg models is that you should look at the critical points of W, okay? So the critical points of your superpotential. And so that sort of explains the first bit of my title, okay, so the moduli space of n equals 1 is fibered over the moduli space of n equals 2, and the fibers are the critical points of W, and that gives you something which I will refer to as an extension of the moduli spaces, okay, so your moduli space of n equals 2 is extended by this brain to give you the moduli space of n equals 1, okay, and yes. Okay, and now I'm going to make another step, which Gintaro won't be happy, but so let me pretend or assume that the critical locus here is isolated and non-degenerate. So because I can make sense of other cases. Well, certainly non-isolated. Okay, let me just assume this. Okay, so in other words, massive vacua. So then we come to the closest connection with Davide's talk. So then it's of interest to count the degeneracy of the solitons. Okay, so ND. So now we have we have several critical points, maybe, and we want to count the degeneracy of these solitons. Okay, so. So in the W plane, so what you have is you have these critical points, okay, and so there should be straight lines from vacuum I to vacuum J, and so there are the field configurations in along this X3 there, which along this direction on which this defect is extended, and I don't know, this is your field phi, and so there are these kinks, okay, which go from vacuum I to vacuum J. Right. So the BPS states of charge D, okay, electric charge D, and so here we have 2D, 4D system, okay, and so these states, they're sort of localized on this defect here, and they're still going to be charged under the vector multiplets, okay, so they're still going to carry some charge. As we'll see, this charge might not be integral, it might be in general, it will be a fractional charge, but anyway, they're charged, okay? And so, yeah, maybe that's the point where I could I could just say, so I mean, the picture here is that these states, one way in which these arise is from holomorphic disks ending on this Lagrangian, whereas these states that are counted by Kupakuma-Wafa, there are T2 brains wrapping curves in X, okay? So that's what counted by these N tilde D, maybe again from vacuum I to J, and these are the NDs, okay? Right. So in David's talk, it was interesting to ask, so if you change this W, well, so first of all, you didn't have this D, okay, because he wasn't embedding it in four dimensions. But you know, he was asking, so what, you know, if you change the parameters in W, how do these NDs change? And that gives you the wall crossing. Okay, and so I was trying to categorify that. And so here in string theory, you don't have the choice to dial the W. Okay, so it's just given. Okay, so but in this context, then what Ugriwafa suggests and suggested many years ago in the context of knot invariance, and this is supported by many examples, that these N tilde, these NDs, so these NDs are encoded in W itself. So that is sort of the that's the belief that these ND IJ are encoded in W itself. Okay, but so this was these examples were mostly local examples, or maybe compact, but in one way or another toric cases. Okay, and in particular, the way that they're encoded in W was always turned out to be rational. Okay, and there are examples. So the first examples for compact collabials also turn out to give rational numbers. But the next simplest examples actually give you irrational numbers. And so this is what I want to tell you about today. But in fact, so producing interesting examples of L, defining these NDs is very difficult. So you have a definition of these relative NDs?
That's what we discussed with David. I mean, pure geometric moment. Because, I mean, there is just kind of for one machinery crossing structure.
Yeah, but.
But geometrically, I don't
know. I don't know if these relative invariants are discussed. That's what I'm not sure. So it's not.
Yeah. Relative to Lagrangian.
So you have to talk about the Foucault category. Okay, maybe you can explain if these are actually defined.
Yes.
You know, Agurivafa story, you take just Lagrangian brain, which is not compact, same, the result of conic fold, and look for surfaces with boundary and over some vector bundle, which is homomorphic inside, and real analytic all the way to the boundary. So you want to make a moduli space.
Yeah. Okay. So, so what the calculations, they give you predictions for what you should have. Okay, so as I just said, so giving examples of L is very difficult in compact collabials, even in non-compact. Basically, the examples are toric or real. Okay, but luckily we have mirror symmetry. So of course, another message of things that discussed at this workshop is that for purposes, let's say, of calculating Gromov-Whitney invariance, maybe we don't need mirror symmetry anymore. You can just calculate by localization in the gauge linear sigma model. But for this purpose here, as I said, producing examples of L, maybe even in the linear sigma model, is not known, but you can map this to something in the B model, and then you can get predictions for what the structure of this W should have. Okay, so let me talk. Please.
So there's still a limit for the open inversion of the for open membrane.
You'll see that
it can't. Well, it won't be true on the nose, but morally it will always be true. Morally it will always be true, but the detail now you'll see it involves some interesting thing. Okay, so what you should look at is this formula. The question is how this formula will be generalized. So the result of the B model says that around large volume, W takes the following form. So W, which is really W restricted to the critical locus of W, whatever that means. But so there are some terms which are similar to, there are some sort of classical terms, okay, which are rational. So and there are some constant terms. And then there are these sort of things which look like instanton corrections n tilde d q to the d over r. Okay. So this is the fractional charge. So r is some integer, which tells you that these guys are actually fractionally charged. And more or less, I don't know exactly what invariant this r is, but more or less it's... is H1 of the Lagrangian. Some invariant of the Lagrangian. The interesting thing is that n tilde d, these are irrational numbers in some number field K, okay, which is some finite extension of Q, and which is, I mean, this is fixed for the situation, okay, so fixed for any brain. So for any of these situations, there's going to be this number field K, which is, you know, finite, some finite extension. You'll see in hindsight, I mean, once you accept that these things don't have to be rational, it's actually surprising that there's a finite extension for each of these geometric situations. So that's why I'm sort of emphasizing that it's fixed for each brain. Okay, and then the A, well, that's some transcendental number. And more or less, it's some kind of thing that mathematicians call L functions. That's equal to 2 divided by 2 pi square. Okay. So that's morally. So this is some L function at s equal 2. Don't ask me what an L function is, but it's somehow associated to K. So this is the analog. Well, okay, I mean, don't ask me what an L function is, but for Q, an L function is basically the zeta function, okay? And so that's the analog of the zeta of 3 that was appearing in this expansion somewhere on the other slide, okay? So you get this, okay, so you get this interesting combination, right? So that's the classical, I mean, this is sort of, you know, mathematicians study this a lot. Maybe you know, irrational counting invariants also are known, but I haven't seen them, okay, except here. So the point is that these things are irrational, but there is some integrality. Maybe I should give some references for this. So I learned most of this actually from Matt Kerr. So there is a paper by Griffiths, Green, and Kerr, but it goes, you know, back many years, and I think really it's related to Bellinson's on special values of L functions and algebraic cycles. Okay, but the point, okay, and that's why I think there is actually evidence for this sort of idea that I mentioned in the beginning. So there is an integrality. Okay, so so as Jaume was just saying, really, There is an Ogurivafa version of Gopakumavafa, some open Gopakumavafa story. Okay, and so ideally what you like, so in an ideally, so what Ogurivafa really said is that the W, or more precisely just the sum of these instantons, let me remove the R. So that should be some integers times the dialogue of Q. Maybe I put D over R here. D over R, okay. And right, so that's sort of the ideal situation. And maybe you're allowed to twist this dialogue a little bit. So maybe it's not exactly that. Maybe you're allowed to twist this dialogue a little bit. And indeed, in the simplest examples, that's what it is. Okay, so it's just the twist of the dialogue. I don't know. Do I still have maybe 20% of my audience? Right. Okay. So when this extension is abelian, then you extend, and then you actually understand what this thing is. This Li2 twiddle. Okay. So when the Galois group of K over Q is abelian. This Li2 twiddle of let me say x or z. So in this abelian case, there's something called Dirichlet characters. Okay, and so you can just twist your dialogue by these Dirichlet characters, and so this is the analog of this formula here, right? So this is the trilog. Now here you have the dialogue, okay, but there is a twist that you have to make, and in the simplest abelian cases, that's just some Dirichlet character. But even in that situation, the NDs actually are not integer, they're still irrational, but at least you understand. They're integer, they're algebraic integers, you still understand at least some kind of multi-formula like this, okay? But in the general case, yeah, the ij I dropped, okay? So that's like I, the ith critical point. So so luckily, Jaume Davide explained that really, there's something about these degeneracies which only depends on what's going on near the critical point, okay? So in some sense, it's part of the mystery of this formula here that this degeneracy really sort of separates into is sort of additive over these critical points. So indeed, that's a little bit. Yeah. So I don't fully understand this, and Greg Moore has been telling me that there can be obstructions to doing that. But Davide didn't mention these obstructions, so I don't know. Is he? Davide is not here. Okay. Sorry, Noriko.
So for each I, you get this number of k, so ki.
There is a Galois group that's acting. Okay, so you'll see in a little bit. I mean, maybe on the next slide you'll see. no, okay, I can say, huh? No, the K is there is a group. I mean, the Galois group acts on the I's. So the K depends only on the. But it labels the critical points. If you have a, okay, that's actually one of the main messages, so mathematically, I think.
R is not I.
Sorry? R also depends on I. Fix one I, okay, let's do the following. Fix an I, let's say I is equal to 1 and drop it. And then really the K is not just the K, but it's actually K together in the embedding in C. So if you want, I label the embeddings into the embeddings of K into C. Does that help? You can think of I as labeling the embeddings of K. Okay. Okay, but in general, you can't make this kind of statement, okay? But what you can make is you can make this statement about the congruences of these n tildes. So in general, what we have is that we have, so for all p and d, we have n tilde pd minus 1 over p squared now. Okay, so we've gone and n tilde d, but here you have to insert this Frobenius at p. And so now this is now an integer at p. So this is my notation, g and k are the integers. And no, it shouldn't. No. Why is k? Yeah, what? Why is it called k? Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know why O, but yeah, I don't know why O. G is for ganz, K is for Körper, and G is for ganz. So that makes sense. And anyway, this, okay, another thing is that this G, so this, I sometimes feel the need to explain this because this GP is actually not a field, so that's not actually, okay, K localized at P is not the field. We really get, so you have this Frobenius, but it's not sort of the Frobenius. I mean, I don't know. Who wants me to explain what this Frobenius is? So I mean, mathematicians know the Frobenius basically, but let me say just in two lines for physicists. Actually, I should. Maybe I should just skip this because otherwise, I want to make the observation. So this is the Frobenius at P, but really the Frobenius depends on some prime above P and so on. But it's kind of some interpolation of these Frobeniuses. Okay, so it's a well-defined thing. It took a while to understand actually because mathematicians don't formulate it in this way. But anyway. Right, so that's the general congruence that you can have, and but you don't know, what you sort of don't know is how to write it in this form in the general case. Okay, so in the abelian case, this Frobenius is just basically the same thing as this Dirichlet character over there, but in the general case, you don't know. So, but we gave a definition of these functions, so the definition, so this is with Schwartz and Vologodsky. That these functions, or formal power series really in K of Z, they're called two functions if for all unramified P you have this relation which is really the same as that. Okay, so this omega, you can think of some n tilde d z to the d. If you have this relation that 1 over p squared Frobenius at p of omega z to the p minus omega. So you have to localize at p minus z if this is actually integer. Okay, and so these are this is then this notion of two function, and it's very, they have some interesting properties, which we are still sort of trying to explore. Okay. And but I want to just maybe give you the message. How much time do I have, Jomi? 15, 20 minutes? Okay. Yeah, then I can actually go into the example as well. Okay, so let me make some observations, which really maybe explain what's going on, okay? So from the physics perspective, right, if we have this theory, so theory with these four supercharges, and you know, chiral field phi and the superpotential W, so sort of just kind of a curly W. So what you know, this is so chiral field. This W is holomorphic, but the invariant information. So the invariant holomorphic information is in W physical invariant physical. Information is just actually the value of W at the critical points. Okay. And so in general, I mean, that's what already I've been using before, but I think one thing that, let me call this thing V. That somehow is, not the bosonic potential, but sort of related to that. So the derivative of W is kind of V, okay? And the difference, so the constant, indeed. Yeah. So that has to do with this. That's a, sort of the same question as whether I have to label, look at individual vacua, or I can look at the differences, indeed. So, okay, but so in general, there is not much. You can say, but let's assume that, and let's assume that the statement that this W has integer coefficients makes sense. Okay, and let me assume also. Let me assume that this is makes sense, and also there's a polynomial. W is a polynomial. Then you see, sorry, no, I shouldn't put this in. Yeah, integral coefficients. Well, I mean, if it's rational coefficients, you can always. I'm dropping the closed free moduli here. But indeed, I think that's what makes sense. It's the existence. It's the situation of the extension that makes. This statement makes sense, the statement that you have integral coefficients. So you have to have an underlying integral structure, and I think that integral structure comes from the n equals 2 moduli space, okay? So I think, so that's why I think that this, maybe that's why this hasn't been pointed out, but I think that it's quite clear now that if you look now at the critical points of W and you look at the critical values, they are in some k finite extension of q. And not just that, but so, okay, so now we have this w. Okay, I can draw this plane again. So we have these critical points somehow, these critical values. And the Galois group acts, okay, so on these vacua. On the critical point of W, which are basically just the zeros of V. So if you think, now if you think about these BPS states, okay, so the BPS states, they're basically, so the Galois group will map these vacua one to the other, okay, somehow. And this means that also the state of solitons that interpolate between these carries action of Galois group. And on
Do you mean that it acts on the set? Or
it acts on the set. It just acts on the, it just exchanges the roots of the power beam, right? Okay, so that I think is
how physically how this arises. Sorry? No, critical is the root of V, okay? And so here, so that I think is the physics method. This is the physics observation. The math observation is much simpler because it really says just that, I mean, right, so mathematicians think of these algebraic numbers as being roots of these polynomials V, but the way this arises in this picture is that you should actually think of them as critical values of W, okay? So. So that I think is the message, okay. And so yeah, I mean the existence of the right, so V so is a kind of an integrability condition. The question whether V is actually the derivative of some W. Now I mean of course you know any in one variable that's trivial, but if you have an already two, that's some trivial condition. And in the context of the in this context here, with these two functions, so the derivative of this, if you take a derivative here, you get 1 over p, you get something which is very well known, okay, so this is something called the Dworkin integrality lemma, okay, so it's very well known, you know, you can take, it's basically just a logarithm, okay, with algebraic coefficients, okay. So that's very well known. But the statement that what happens when you can you know, this integrability condition on that's not, as far as I know, but maybe Jan knows where to find it. As far as I know, this is not discussed. Okay. So that is basically all the message. All the messages, and the rest is just the calculation of the example. So I put this at the beginning. So that I wouldn't lose my audience and would have enough time to say all these things. But if there are questions now.
So that's another, indeed. So W.
Right, so how should this W arise? Okay, so I mean, I dropped the Lagrangian picture a while ago, but in the Foucaille setup, so not only these n tilde d count the disks, but also the W. The W itself arises because of worksheet instanton, disk instanton corrections, right? So basically the critical points of the W, of the Foucaille W, is in some sense where these disks balance each other, okay? So, you know, you're summing over all these disks and the Lagrangian can move maybe, and the critical points are where these disks balance each other. And if you have only a finite number of disks, then obviously you will have, then you should have some polynomial, okay? But if you have an infinite number of disks, which I think is the generic situation, then it's not clear at all. It's not clear at all why you should have a polynomial, okay? But the B model suggests that effectively you will have a polynomial, okay?
I have no idea how this matches with open.
There's no. I think in the compact case you will not have open closed duality, because in the when the compact case you cannot put arbitrary number of brains on your Calabi.
You put a Randi fold,
but then limits the charge of the Randi fold is 1, or whatever 32, some number.
No, but that doesn't mean that the closed geometry will be very stringy, not more than that.
Okay. You explain how this measures, but then you explain how this measures with open closed duality.
What exactly did you have in mind with open closed duality? You wanted to rewrite this open BPS completely in a closed string formulation? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, to me, there is a difference because I mean, p. You know, here you have a p squared. In the other case, you have a p cubed. The open string. Okay, the open string is in some sense is like a derivative of the closed string. because you're you have 1/p squared instead of 1/p cubed. So that comes like from taking another derivative. Okay, so being able to map it to a closed string, that's another integrability condition. And I don't know in what situation it should be satisfied. From this point of view, this having a closed string is like another integrability condition. So I don't know when this would be satisfied.
Yeah, but then you get
invariant. You get the two invariant things. So these are actually the example. This is one example, but that's a rational example. So that's an example which is completely understood, where you take the fixed point set of an anti-symplectic or anti-holomorphic involution, and then you're counting real gadgets, and then you basically have no field extension in that case, and you're just working over the rationals. But still, you don't have, it's not a closed string. I mean, the multicolor formula is 1/p squared. It's not 1/p cubed. Okay, so indeed, I mean, the B model, so now I'll go faster. So mirror to X and L, you can, homological mirror symmetry or mirror symmetry attaches Y with E, where E is some object in the rough category of Y, and Y is the mirror. And W is given by this magical holomorphic Trans-Siemens action. Okay, so you can write it. So the holomorphic Trans-Siemens originally defined for vector bundles, but you can sort of generalize it to objects in the rough category. And in any case, as far as the critical values are concerned, you can actually always write this as the integral of the holomorphic 3 form of the mirror over some 3-chain gamma, whose boundary is some holomorphic curve, which is the second turn class of this guy. Okay. So that's basically the same thing as this. Okay. So. This is kind of the derivative. Locally, this is the antiderivative of the C2, and so you're basically just integrating omega against this 3-chain that ends on C, which is dual to the second turn class. Okay, so if we just want to map out the possible critical locus, okay, if we're only interested in that, and as I try to emphasize, that's really the invariant information. So to map the L's, to map L in the number fields, for example, if we want to know what number fields appear in these numbers and so on, we just scan the holomorphic curves in as algebraic cycles in this group, okay? So we look for curves, which for holomorphic curves in the mirror, and then we calculate this integral here, and so that's something one can do. And well. So the way to do it is actually to calculate the equation and then the differential equation. And that's when the second part of my title comes in, this monodromy business. So it's a monodromy of the equation. So we have a Picard-Fuchs equation, an inhomogeneous Picard-Fuchs. So I like to write it like this. Okay, so you integrate up to this cycle. I don't know. This goes back to Griffiths. So if you have, this, that's something that mathematically is called a normal function, a truncated normal function. So it's well known that this satisfies an inhomogeneous Picard-Fuchs equation. So that's the Picard-Fuchs operator of your y, if you want, and that's the w. And so it's just something. I mean, if you were integrating over a cycle, then you got zero. But if you integrate over a chain, you get something which has to do with the boundary, and so you get some function like that. Okay, so some function of your complex structure variable z. Okay, so and so that's how you calculate your w. Okay. To this. Physical interpretation. No, I don't know of a physical interpretation to this particular function. It's a good question. Okay, but anyway, the reason I wanted to give you an example. Okay, so this has to do with the quintic, and maybe I won't write any more formulas. No, I will write a couple more. Okay, so in the quintic, there are some examples, and I wanted to give you the simplest example, which has non-abelian extension. Just to give you an idea that this actually is quite complicated. So look at the quintic. I won't write it. I will write it. So that's the quintic, okay, the mirror quintic. And there is a cycle, x1 plus x2 plus x3 plus a x5, x2 plus x4 plus x5. So that's a plane in P4. And inside of this plane, there's going to be some conics. Okay, so you look at the particular conics, x3 squared plus x4 squared plus bx3 x4 plus blah, blah, blah. It ends with 1 8 minus psi plus 6 a squared plus 2 a squared b x5 squared equal to 0. So that defines your curve. This is the y. Okay, and so this curve is inside of y if these coefficients here, the a's and the b's, satisfy certain algebraic equation, which looks as follows. I need maybe three more minutes. Okay, so so I want to write the rest of the equation. So 64 plus 5 psi squared a cubed minus 40 psi a to the 4 plus 12 a to the 5 equal to 0 and psi a b squared equal to 0. So that's an example. So this is the extension of the moduli space. Okay, so you have this psi space, okay, and then for each psi, you have 10 of these curves, okay? So you have some extension of the moduli space. So this is your m n equals 1. This is the m n equals 2. Okay, and if you want to study the W, the large volume expansion, you have to localize here. So right, so there is psi equals infinity. This is the large complex structure limit, and so you have to localize here. And now, when you localize such an extension there, you get an extension of the local field there. Okay, so and in fact, the extension can split. Okay, and so that's what happens. So at psi equals infinity, the extension splits, and there are sort of two. I don't know what the vocabulary is to use there. I invented my own, so I call this groups of branches. So on one, you have 5 to the 1 third, okay? And on the other, so the point is that this is a non-abelian extension. That's the only thing I want to say, but let me not write it. But the other one is also non-abelian. So there are two branches, 1 and 2, and so that is the dihedral group. Okay. So that's that. Okay. And so just so you have an idea of what it is. So that's these are basically the number fields that appear, and these are the only non-abelian examples that I have. But just to give you an idea of what's complicated, so the F in this case looks like that. Okay. So the point is really, so it's really the simplest that I know. It's really the simplest cycle. But the, you know, the point, maybe I end with this. I mean, the point is that these cycles somehow know. See, the point in the, and that's a good, it's good that it's up here. So these cycles, they know about this Frobenius, okay, up to order p squared, okay. And but they know it in this messy, in this way, okay. So the, all the you know, if you want the all the information about this Frobenius is encoded in this complicated expression. And of course, at this moment, you know, as I said before, in string theory, we don't get to dial anything really. Everything is given to us. So I don't get to dial these fields. So I cannot. If you give me a number field, I can't tell you what's the corresponding function you should look at to extract the Frobenius. But in the other way, basically, that's the message. Okay. So oh wait, there was something about monodromy that I didn't say. But I'll let me end here. Okay. Thank you.
What you didn't say about the monodromy?
No. It's just about the calculation of the A. So this L function. Sorry, there were, A has two different meanings here. Yeah, the constant term in the expansion. So the point is, you can, the message is that you can recover this A from monodromy calculation. Okay, so if you know how Candelas actually calculated the F, so nowadays you can get the F from, I mean, the zeta of 3, you can get in the A model from localization, and there is there's a gamma genus that explains this, okay, the integral structure on quantum cohomology. So you know what this is. But in the old days, it was recovered from monodromy calculation, in particular monodromy around the conifold point. Okay, so let's start, you know, you start here and you calculate monodromy is here. Now in the open string case, there is open string discriminant. You see this here, so there are some singularities here. The discriminant of this extension here, okay. And the message is, okay, there are two ways of calculating A. So A, the constant term. So this is not the same A as this one. So there are two ways to get it. There is from monodromy. And basically, the relevant monodromy is the conifold monodromy, okay? So that completely fixes the A. At least modulo may be integers, okay? Modulo may be integers, it fixes the A. But the other one is actually to look at boundary conditions. Boundary conditions at this open string discriminant. So this normal function, you see when you have the discriminant basically is where two of these branches come together. And so then, you know, the difference of these two integrals vanishes, and it's not just the difference, it's also the derivative that vanishes. And so this gives you two boundary conditions. And by imposing those boundary conditions at delta open, so that's where delta open is here, okay, you get, you can recover the A, okay? So, what's the point, you know, monodromy? So this equation here, so I said you calculate W from this equation, but of course this differential equation determines W only modulo periods. Okay, and in fact, not, I mean, modulo complex periods, but you want to know it modulo integral periods. And if you want to know it modulo integral periods, then you have, you can either look at the monodromy or you can look at these boundary conditions. And an amazing, I mean, calculationally, it's amazing that they give you the same answer. I mean, it's really amazing. And moreover, you know, it's not just they give you, but, you know, in, you calculate with this and you really get these L functions out of this monodromy and this complicated formula.
Irreducible in
pi? This? Yeah. Irreducible in psi? I believe so. Now, this is in fact, this comes out of the monodromy calculation. It is irreducible. Yeah, you can. I mean, the monodromy. You can look at the monodromy group, or you know, it's irreducible. I mean, the point. This singularity here looks a little. The generic form of the singularity. It always so f around a singularity at the open string discriminant vanishes like to the power 5.5, generic. I mean, at the generic place where you just have some, or the two branch point like this. It's not apparent from here, but that's actually this thing also vanishes when you get to the discriminant here, and you actually get five halves. Otherwise it would take four blackboards.